this about prayer. And I want to specifically speak on some aspects of that wonderful invitation that Jesus offers to us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation 3 and verse 20. You may know this, some of you may know this almost by memory. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So Holy Spirit, thank you again for this verse of Scripture. Now help us to, Lord, glean out some truths from this word as we, Lord God, consider the invitation to a lifelong relationship with you. I share these thoughts with you this morning based upon some reading and some meditating that I have been doing and some practicing that I have been doing in the last number of months that come out of this verse. And the basic premise of this verse and the thoughts I have this morning is this, is that prayer is basically inviting Jesus into our helplessness. Prayer is inviting Jesus into our helplessness. Now back to you, boys and girls. When you were a little tiny baby, and there's a few of them here. In fact, we have one brand new baby here that was just born this week. Where's Zamira? Where are we here? Oh, they're back there. Okay. We have another brand new baby amongst many. But boys and girls, when you were a little baby, what did you need your mom and dad to do for you? Hold you? Yeah. When you were a baby, what did your mom and dad have to do for you? Yes. Change the diapers. Yes. And how many times? Hundreds of times. Yeah. What else did you have mom and dad have to do for you when you were a baby? Yes. Everything. Yeah. Give me a detail. What else? What else did your mom and dad have to do for you? Yes. Feed you. Change your diapers. What else? Come on. There's some more things. What else did they do? Thomas? He's being goofy? Okay. They had to put up with your humor, too. Yeah. Yes. At the back. I didn't hear that. Yeah, to feed you. They have to comfort you, care for you, make sure you're safe. Do they put clean clothes on you? Yes. All right. Watch out for you and maybe protect you from your older brothers and sisters. Yes. But when we were little, we were totally dependent on our parents. And our parents were more or less faithful to care for us in our every need. But as we started getting older, boys and girls, we wanted to start doing some things for ourselves, didn't we? We want to decide, I want to decide what I want to eat. Or I want to decide what I want to wear. Or I want to decide where I'm going to play and how long I'm going to stay outside. We start getting more and more independent, don't we? Do you know what? In our relationship with the Lord, I believe that one of the secrets of us staying in fresh walk with the Lord is to never move away from the understanding that we really are always still dependent on the Lord's mercy and grace in our lives. We will never mature away from that. And if we do, we start to run into some challenges. So let's look at this. Revelation chapter 3. This is, of course, a letter to the church in Laodicea, beginning at verse 14. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Revelation contain these letters to these churches, and this particular one written to the Laodicean church is considered the church representing the church leading up to Christ's return. So I just want to read this here. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's interesting, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 is sometimes used in a way of witnessing to people, witnessing to unbelievers or to pre-Christians. You encourage them, behold, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Open your heart to the Lord. But the truth is, the context of this passage here is it's really not written to unbelievers. It's actually written to the church. It's written to us. It's written to us. Jesus is knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door of his church. In this case, it's the Laodicean church. But by extension of understanding the scripture, we can say he's knocking at the door of every church. Here at the Westlaw Gospel Chapel, he's knocking at the door of our fellowship together here. And he's offering to come in. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for us to, two things, to hear his voice and to open the door. Now, in this letter, and I'm not going to take a lot of time to pull it apart, but we see that the Spirit, or the angel writing to this church, is saying to the Laodiceans, you've run into problems because you have developed a sense of self-sufficiency. You say that you are rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And it has led you to be unaware or unconscious or no longer able to realize that in truth, without the Lord Jesus and his work in our hearts, in their hearts and lives and in ours, we really are only miserable, poor, blind, and naked. When I read those four descriptions, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, inside of me I want to say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be that way. I don't want anybody to be that way. Miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Even when we are greeting at the front door here on Sunday mornings and you come in the door and one of the greeters says to you, how are you doing today? We really don't want you to say, I'm miserable. I'm poor. I'm blind. We don't want to go there because it makes us feel uncomfortable, because what do we do about it? But the truth is, many of you, even in this past week, have probably experienced situations when you could have identified yourself by one of those words. Maybe things we didn't go right, challenges, struggles. What I read in this chapter here, in this letter, is that God is not overwhelmed or surprised. In fact, he invites us to be honest about our need. He actually is inviting the Laodicean church and us to be honest, to say, you know what? Without the Lord's intervention, care, and love in my life, I really am miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But the wonderful thing is, it's not a sentence to live all of our lives that way. It's only a recognition of our true need, of our true hunger for the Lord. And so, what the Spirit is saying here to this church and to us is, out of our need, let's realign and understand what the Lord really offers us and wants to give us every day in our lives. He says, I counseled you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, which may mean pure faith, purified faith, faith that has stood the test during trials and struggles, during the fires of life. We turn to the Lord and faith grows, purified faith like gold before him. And garments, white garments, the garments of being covered in Christ's righteousness, not my own righteousness. In fact, in the book of Isaiah, it says, all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. But God, Jesus, offers us his righteousness, his covering, and that we might have eye salve so that we can see our blindness is healed and we start to see through God's eyes, through God's heart, through God's mercy. And all of that is made available to us through opening the door of our hearts to the Lord. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. So think with me this morning for a moment. Does Jesus knock at the door of your heart? Is Jesus knocking at the door of your heart? Do you hear him? I am certain he knocked at the door of your heart this week. I'm certain he has. I'm certain that he has come to you and asked for permission to come into your heart. What does the knocking sound like? What does it look like? Well, it can come in many ways. Did you have fear suddenly grip you about something this week? Or maybe sadness over some very disappointing news? Worry, stress? Did you have a crisis happen in your life this week? Did you learn about something that changes the whole course of your understanding of who you are and maybe your family and situation? Has there been a diagnosis come of maybe terminal illness or serious sickness? Has there been an implosion of relationships somehow and things haven't gone well at all and there's misunderstandings and anger? All of those really are a knock on your heart. And Jesus is saying, let me in to your helplessness. Let me in to your dilemma. Let me in because I want to come and give you healing and hope and love. I believe knocking can come in other ways. Knocking can come in an expression of gratefulness and thankfulness. When we are just so thankful for something, so thankful for perhaps the blessings we have, and we wonder, what should we do with it? Well, that's Jesus knocking and say, can I come in and sit down at the table of your heart? And let's rejoice in the goodness of the Lord in your life. Let's talk about it together. Let's celebrate together. The knocking can come in other ways. I believe one of the most serious ways that God knocks at our hearts, if we are willing to acknowledge it, is when we struggle with temptation. If we struggle with temptations of unforgiveness, bitterness, if we struggle with temptations perhaps with food, pornography, things in our life that seem to grip us and we can't break free of it, really allow it to be the knocking of the Lord on your heart. Allow it to be Jesus saying to you, let me in, let me in, let's sit down. I want to minister to you. I want to love you and encourage you. C.S. Lewis, in his book about pain, makes this very interesting statement. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. The knocking just gets louder and louder. We're living in a world now where I feel the knocking is pretty loud. And what's the response? All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Cast your needs on the Lord. Let him come in. So we open the door. We say yes to the Lord. We welcome him in. And as he comes in, he actually brings the banquet to our hearts. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. He invites us to sit down, commune with him, and enjoy his presence as he feeds our soul. But can I encourage you this? Be prepared, because every time we say yes to Jesus, as he comes in through the doorway of our pain or through the doorway of our thankfulness and gratefulness, when he comes in, expect that he will change you. Expect to be changed. Expect that he's going to transform your thinking, your heart, your soul, your mind in some way every time you say yes to the Lord. And what I'd like to do is do a quick run over of four stories in the Bible where Jesus came and sat at a table with someone and their lives changed. First one, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. I won't take time to labor on these for very long, any of them, but I want you to notice. What happens when Jesus comes to your house for dinner? What happens when Jesus comes to your door and you open the door and let him in? Well, expect that he will change you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. And Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You can draw your own conclusions as you meditate on this, but here's one that comes to me. When you and I are willing to open the door of our heart and to our helplessness, we will find ourselves in good company. We will find ourselves in the company of many others who are willing to be honest about their need, their temptations, and their struggles. And it's not a frightening place to be. In fact, it's the very place Jesus invites us to be. Because Jesus has come to those who are sick. And so we open our hearts. Every time we invite Jesus in, it's really not a one-on-one, but it's being invited into a whole company of people who are willing to be honest and live that way, trusting the Lord. Let's look at another one. Another tax collector, Luke chapter 19. I think you probably already know this story if you're following, kind of tracking with me here. Luke 19, beginning in verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Kids, do you know that song? Have you sung that song in Sunday school? Yes. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." A similar story to Matthew the tax collector, but this one I see even further. When you invite Jesus, open the door to him, and he comes and dines with you and you with him, priorities change. The values of life change. What we find to be something that was once precious, we now are willing to give away because we have found something far greater in the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Expect to be changed. Expect priorities and values to be changed. And we see this illustrated if you turn to another dinner meeting, back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, here's another invitation that Jesus was in the home. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it happened, as they went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him to her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted by much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. We've heard sermons on this passage for a long time about slowing down, enjoying being in the presence of Jesus. Let him speak to us and guide us. But this wasn't the only time that they sat together in a meal. For if you turn to John chapter 12, you see another time when Jesus is in the same house, perhaps, with some of the same people, only something even more profound happens. John chapter 12, verse 1. This is after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Therefore, they made him a supper, and Martha served. I wonder if Martha served differently this time. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Could you imagine something that like that happening at your Thanksgiving dinner? When suddenly a woman, out of deep, deep worship and thankfulness and love for Jesus, takes perhaps the most precious thing that she owns, a flask, a sealed flask of very expensive ointment, fragrant ointment, she breaks it and she uses it to anoint Jesus' body. You see, when we invite Jesus into our hearts and into our home, when we answer the knock on the door of our hearts, expect that worship will become very personal, very real, and very rich. Jesus invites us to trust him. I turn to one more story. Go to the end of the Gospel of Luke. This one I conclude with as a celebration. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been buried. On the third day, he rose again. Many were in confusion and ununderstanding what this was all about. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all things that had happened. And so it was that while they were conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And as the story goes here, Jesus began to explain to them from the scriptures all the things concerning him and in his life and his death and now his resurrection. Down to verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. They opened the door to their homes to him, to Jesus, invited him in. And it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that this is God's gift for us on a regular basis by the working of his Holy Spirit, that when we invite Jesus into our hearts to sit and dine with us, take time to commune with him, relate to him and talk with him, that he will bring us a revelation of the truth of the Word of God and of who Jesus Christ is in ever-increasing ways, and our excitement will grow in the Lord. But here's my thought to pull this all together. This kind of prayerfulness, this kind of honesty, this kind of opening our hearts to the Lord can and is spurred out of a sense of helplessness. When we feel like we have reached the end of our ability to cope with life and its challenges, do not despair. Instead, take it as a knock coming from the Lord saying, will you let me into this one? Will you let me into this situation? Will you let me into your distress and your confusion and your uncertainty? Will you let me in? For me, this has been a very significant invitation that I have received from the Lord. As some of you know, several years ago during COVID, when COVID was really getting going and all the challenges of leadership and struggles and everything that were happening, I had an anxiety attack. And I wound up in the hospital one morning in emergency, sure that I was having a heart attack. All the symptoms were there. At least it sure felt like it. Thankfully, there was one godly young lady there, a nurse working there, who I've known for years. And as they examined me and looked at me, and she came to me afterwards at the hospital there as I'm laying in emergency, and she really says, I think you're just overloaded with care, overloaded with struggles. And thankfully, that's all it was. That's all it was. But since that time, and now since I have looked at Revelation chapter 3, that in the context of being willing to admit that there are still times that I feel miserable, poor, blind, and naked, the Holy Spirit is not saying, you loser, you useless guy, you useless leader, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to conduct yourself, you don't know what to do if there's a crisis. Rather than letting the enemy convince me that I am not worthy of coming to the Lord, I've now begun to realize that it's in my helplessness is the clearest knocking that I hear the Lord on my heart. And he's saying to me, come, open the door. I want to come in. I want to come into your helplessness and flood you with the joy, the encouragement, and the hope of God's presence, his presence, his peace, his love. So, Father in heaven, I know you're knocking at everyone's door. Lord, the door of our hearts, the door of our minds, the door of our spirit on a repeated basis. And Lord, rather than being ashamed, fearful, or feeling like we have somehow failed you, I ask, O Lord, instead you would help us, encourage us to open the door to you. Lord, we might peer through the window. Help us to see it's you, Jesus. Help us to, Lord, not be afraid to welcome you in and to let you come in and change our lives day by day. Lord, I pray your blessing on the scripture, the thoughts, and the invitation that you give us on a day-by-day basis in Christ Jesus. To the glory of God we pray. Amen. Team, come and let's conclude in one last song here.